This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Archway Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is The Fork in My Fifth Grade Road. And joining me from California is the author, Ramona A. Velasquez. Ramona. I'll fix that. Velasquez. Welcome to the program.
No problem. Well, thank you, Jay. And I think you did pretty well on the name, actually.
I got
never
close.
Easy.
I got close. I do. People have problems. People have problems with my name, and it's Barker, which is pretty straightforward. They call me all kinds of other things.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
You are a school teacher by history and an author by desire, I guess would be the best way to describe this book. It takes a little bit of a look toward schooling and children and so on. Is there any element of truth in this as far as your own history, or how did this book get published? What was the background on it?
Well, first of all, it really is a story that happens because of me. I watched this whole story. I experienced this story. And so all of the things in the story, in this book, are truthful. And whether or not they happened right there when I was a fifth grader back in Park Forest, Illinois, or as a teacher when I was in Encinitas, those events did happen, and the outcomes happened.
Now, Margie is your main character. Is that also a composite?
Yes, Margie is basically me, but it's also other students that have been in a similar situation. Story becomes Margie seeing that story as well.
Why 1957? Was that a specific reason for that?
Well, it's actually when I was a fifth grader. I'm an old lady here, Jay. So yes, that was when I was a fifth grader back in 1957 and experienced that year. And as a fifth grader, one of the things that I talk about in the book is that I'm starting fresh and new. That was something I always did. I always started each new year with, okay, this is going to be a great year. I just know it. And that's how I basically started the book. I was going to have a great year in fifth grade.
Your fourth grade was not as exciting as your fifth grade, I think, from looking at the history. Didn't you have some challenges as a talkative individual, child? Would that be the way to describe it?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Fourth grade was not so good. It was also the time my mother and my stepfather were going through a divorce, so that made it very awkward at home. And then at school, I always got that feeling the teacher didn't like me because I was the one that talked too much. I stood in the corner. I had my nose on the dot on the blackboard. I just had that feeling she didn't care for me very much. So fourth grade was not the best. And I did learn. I learned what would make me a more likable kid for a teacher.
Well, absolutely. And it must have worked because after graduating, you went into postgraduate work and became a school teacher again and went back into the classroom.
That's right.
These stories that you shared, you've put them into 120 pages, which as I was talking with you prior to the interview, my original estimate on looking at the book and the artwork and the title and other things, I considered this to be a book probably that'd be read by grandparents to little kids getting into bed. But this really is a little older audience, is it not?
Well, actually, it's for both. Being a fifth grade teacher, I know what fifth grade reading is all about. And I was a reading specialist as well. And so the actual dialogue, the words, they're not complicated. It's a chapter book. So 10 chapters, many teachers will say, I want you to read a book for a book report. It needs to be at least 10 chapters. And then the other thing was that it's really, and you hit it on the nose, it's a great book for grandparents to read to their grandchildren, especially grandparents that lived in the 50s. And it's a great book for a teacher to read aloud to their class, because each chapter deals with a topic, whether it's lying or being a good friend or whatever the point was that I was trying to make. It's a good one to finish a chapter and discuss And that's the whole idea, that I always felt it was a good read-aloud book.
120 pages. How long did it take you to complete the story? And was this character-driven, story-driven? Did you keep notes in your history as a teacher and share those in the book? How did it come about?
Well, it's funny, because as a teacher, I would, if a child did something wrong or questionable, I wouldn't embarrass the child by pulling the child up or even telling them something wasn't right. I would tell the class, you know, boys and girls, I was just thinking of something. I'm thinking of a story that happened to me many years ago. And I would use my experience in telling the class to make a point that I wanted them to take from it. So maybe for some, it would not be a choice they would ever make, as what I talked about, but also for the child that maybe committed a problem that fortunately wasn't discovered by the whole class, they might take something from it. So this is a compilation of a lot of the stories I would tell. And also, for me, it was emphasizing the importance of making good choices, because especially now, Jay, with the internet, with social media, everything you seem to do in life is posted somewhere. So it's important to make good choices. And that really is the theme of this whole book, is making good choices.
Undergirded by a moral to the story, what do you think in the book is the most interesting tale or story that you shared?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's funny. There's two that I especially love. One was really directed at teachers. I was fortunate to have a wonderful, wonderful teacher. It was his first year of teaching, and this man had so much compassion and empathy that he made a huge difference in my life, and I'm sure many others in the class. But I also took from him what he modeled and used it as a fifth grade teacher. And then the second thing was a friend of mine who tried to buy friendships with promises of yo-yos, and then later that lie came out, and what happened to her. It really made me think about what my dad would always say: if you lie, you get stuck in a web, but you lie more, and the web gets greater, and pretty soon it's hard to get out of that web. So that lesson of lying was very important to teach also. So those two chapters were two of my favorites.
They sound very, very intriguing. I have some memories of school teachers that I would call finger whackers, and I know that you possibly have experienced a few of those in your relationships, but you don't sound like that type of teacher. You were one that wanted to instruct, inspire, and get the student to grow in their personal life and also in their intellectual life. Is that the way to describe this book as well?
Yes. In fact, as I said, again, it's a good read aloud book. And as a reading specialist, I would always say to teachers, it doesn't matter the grade. It's nice to be read to. And I would, as a fifth grade teacher, after lunch, we would come back and I would read another chapter of a book that I was reading to the class. And if there was a moment to discuss some of it, of what we learned in that chapter, we would do that. But it gave children a chance to connect again with the teacher when we weren't pushing education down their throats. We were actually having a moment. And so this, again, is a good read-aloud book for teachers to discuss with their students.
As a teacher in your background and now an author, was being an author or sharing stories something that you always had a desire to do? Or is this something that just jumped all over you after you decided to slow down a little bit?
Well, it's storytelling has always been something I've enjoyed. I used to be a storyteller at some. That was something I loved to do. And then later I got into script writing for my students because I wanted to do a musical, which, again, I was inspired to do by the fifth grade teacher I had back in Park Forest in fifth grade. But I would do a musical every year. And so when you'd have anywhere between 20 and 120 students, you would say to yourself, okay, well, everyone has to have a part. Everyone has to have some lines, and we have to have some kind of a talent up there. So I would rewrite scripts. I would create them or write them so that students could all perform. And I got into the habit of writing and doing that. And now I just am suddenly sitting down and taking an idea and running with it. And I love this process. So, yeah, this is kind of new for me, actually writing a story rather than a script.
Any complications other than coming up with a storyline or maybe getting it completed so that you were happy?
You know, that's what you hit it on the nose. As a teacher, I worry about the commas and the periods. And did I capitalize this? And did I quote it correctly? And gosh, is there supposed to be a hyphen here? You know, sometimes I can overdo it. It took me a while to finally say, okay, I've got to let this go. This is driving me crazy because I'll find another spot that needs a comma or, you know, overdoing it. So, yes, I had to learn how to put it down. As I used to tell my students, vomit on the page, get all those words out there, and then go back. And now let's take a look at where your story is going. Well, having to take my own advice and say, okay, now don't get hung up on so much. Just look at your thoughts. See if it's on the paper. If you can read it back and it sounds like your thoughts, then let it go. So, yeah, for me.
That's excellent. Not for writing. Excellent advice. I'm a creative. I've had some projects that have been on the burner for 3 or 4 years that probably never will get released. So I connect with what you're saying. The title, The Fork in My Fifth Grade Road, was that
yes.
something that you had been churning about in your creative thoughts for a while, or is this something that came out after you completed the book?
It actually was in my thought beforehand, because whatever happens in your life, you come to a fork in your road and you say, do I do it this way? Do I do it that way? Okay, now this way might be supported by something my father would say is a good choice. That way might be popular, but my father would say bad choice. I think in my own life, I would always look at things and as a fork in the road and just decide, is this something I should choose or not choose based on experiences, background, and my parents in my ear. But yeah. Fork in the Fifth Grade Road, the fifth grade year was the year that really changed my life. So that became important for me to put in there. But the fork, I'm always feeling there's a fork in my road when I have to choose what to do.
It's beautifully done. Again, it's 120 pages. Not a long read, but one that will be filled with interesting tales and certainly some inspiration. The title again, The Fork in My Fifth Grade Road. And by author, Ramona A. Velasquez. Where do my listeners get a copy of your book?
Oh, okay. Amazon.com and Archway Publishing. Archway Publishing, which is a satellite of Simon & Schuster. And also on my website, which if they typed in The Fork in My Fifth Grade Road, it would bring up my website.
Ramona, I understand there's an ebook or some other ways that people can get a copy of this.
Yes. In fact, Archway is putting together a special sale, and I believe it's coming out in August, in which you could get the ebook for 99 cents in combination with the paperback book. And what's lovely about that is that I know many children today have iPads in school. And so my students, when I would read to them, some of the children would go out and buy the book so they could follow me while I read to them, which was a nice thing for them to do. And with iPads, if children had their own ebooks, they could actually follow the story while the teacher read it aloud. And that way, for some kids, it just keeps them a little bit focused while they're relaxing a bit and following the teacher. So anyway, that's coming out, and Archway's putting that out, I believe, in August.
August of 2019, because this interview hopefully will be around for a number of years. They can still do a search under the name of the title of the book and find out what's happening for it. I think that's an excellent yeah. idea. I wish they'd had that when I was a student, hyperactive as I was, and that would be great.
Well, I'm sure hyperactive tends to be curious. So.
Absolutely. And again, if you're doing a search online, listeners, Velasquez is spelled V-E-L-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z. Velasquez, and you can find her book and the one that's coming out in the future. Is it almost ready for print, or are you still working on something?
Well, I'm actually, I've been working on the voice, and so I've been, again, going over every little period and comma and everything in the book. But yes, it's a true story. Well, partially true because it's based on two real dogs that I know that were in a desert in the Baja, and they were found, and how the larger one protects the little one even now. They still exist, these two dogs, and I love the story about them. So anyway, yes, it's partially true, and partially I filled in what I thought might have happened. So that I'm working on. It's going to be called Chica and Nopale.
It sounds like another exciting read. So thank you for joining me and sharing the background story into the book, The Fork in My Fifth Grade Road. Ramona, thank you again for joining me today and sharing your story.
Well, Jay, thank you so much. It was a delight for me, very delightful talking to you. So take care.
Well, best of luck. And for Archway Press, this is Jay Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Congratulations on getting your book published. The effort you put into your work is truly commendable. But what's next? What will happen to all the knowledge you have worked so hard to acquire to produce your book? Here at TogiNet Radio, we can provide you a platform to keep your knowledge working for you through the power of podcast. The subjects our podcasts cover are as varied as the grains of sand on a beach. From life coaching, to military resources, to business success, even to the paranormal. We have a place for everyone. To get started on your next step, call Scott at 903-787-5880 or email him at scott@toginetradio.com. That's S-C-O-T-T at TOGINETRADIO.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled Sunrise, spelled S-O-N-R-I-S-E, and joining me from Colorado is the author, Autumn Florence. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
This is an interesting book because it's a 418 pages. My impression is that it's a devotional for a daily devotional for those who might be wanting to strengthen their faith. Would that be a way to describe this?
Yes, it would.
And 418 pages is quite an undertaking. What motivated you to put this in writing? I understand that even as a young child, you had the desire to be an author. Is this your first book?
Yes, it is. It took several years to write, and at first I started writing a fiction book. I thought that would be my first book, but I strongly sensed that God wanted me to share my experience, strength, and hope in an evangelical way, and so I wrote Sunrise in order to glorify God.
That's a great motivation for those who are people of faith. They can certainly respond and understand that. In looking through the 418 pages, I came across one of your what I would call a daily devotional inspirational thought regarding training hard. And I want to find out a little of your background as a younger adult or maybe even as a teenager. You were wanting to do, was it cross-country endurance running? What was your desire then?
Well, ever since I was a little girl, I loved running. I wanted to run, and my dream was to be a competitive athlete and to compete in the Olympics someday.
Wow.
And I love running. I still do.
Are you in the Olympics?
I kind of talk about it a lot in the book.
did you make it to the Olympics yet?
No. Nope, not yet.
Still chasing the dream. Or running after the dream.
Well, I am a little older now.
Right, I understand. I have some things. I used to be a fairly passionate runner myself, and now if I can make it to the refrigerator in 3 minutes from the couch, I'm in great shape.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes, things do change for some reason. I don't know why that is. Now, the book that you have completed.
I know.
The book that you have completed, who did you want to reach? Who did you think it would appeal to? What was the purpose behind that? Who did you want to reach?
Well, I think that the main audience, my thought is that it would be women and teenage girls, and I just think that it may help them, and possibly there are men who could benefit from it, just, you know, to help them in their relationships with women. But it's kind of more specific to women and teenage girls to help them, and definitely the evangelical piece is very important too.
Well, what you've described then is you're telling me I need to read this if I can to help me understand my wife or my spouse, and for all guys, they need to do that.
Well, yes, because I, you know, women and teenage girls, we have specific things that we deal with, and you know, some traumatic things, and it's kind of hard for people to understand if they haven't been through it, and so if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Your content is taken from personal experience. A lot of it, it's not just here's a scripture and here's how you need to interpret it. Is it based a lot on your personal experience, the stories that you share?
Yes, my testimony is interwoven into the book. And I'm really, my goal is to share my experience, strength, and hope, and I believe that's what God wants me to do, you know, kind of a beauty for ashes thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, was there one particular story that might have been difficult for you to share that you felt you didn't want to be that transparent, but you were inspired and motivated to do so anyway?
Yes, like when I was writing the book, sometimes it was really hard to write. Sometimes it was painful. I'd be crying while I was typing. And, you know, I'd really, when I was in my prayer closet, I'd just say, God, I just don't think I can do this. But I just, you know, I kept going because I believe that it's important. and I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to glorify Him with my life.
Now, have you always been this committed, dedicated, devout in your Christian faith, or is this something that has grown over the years?
It's growing over the years, and I'm a person who who can say I've been through a lot. I've had a tough past, and that's why I think that this book could really be helpful to people, because, you know, not everyone finds the Lord Jesus in a church. It just doesn't always happen that way. And I think some people think that, you know, they're too broken or they've been through too much and there's just no hope. And I really want to give people like that hope and inspiration that there is hope in Jesus. And so that's a lot about, you know, why I wrote the book.
Yes, and do you think this is what makes it unique and sets it apart from other books in the marketplace? There are a lot of devotional books out there, you know, a lot of themed books that are motivational, you know, Chicken Soup for the Soul and all of those kinds of books.
Yes,
this
yes.
one is a little different, though, do you think?
I think it is because it's relational, and gosh, how do I say this? I think in the book and in the devotions, and I think that I relate to certain people and certain things that people have maybe gone through, and it's not that I'm kind of like trying to be an expert, and I don't mean to be negative about other books or other authors or anything like that, but it's different when you're coming from a place of experience, and when I'm able to, you know, write a book with the Lord and glorify Him, and that He's able to make something good out of something bad. I mean, that's really amazing, and I just I'm so happy with the book.
you've shared some very personal parts of your life, and talk about grandparents, great grandparents, and some of your history, and things that we can relate to. Now, I grew up without grandparents or great-grandparents. I mean, they were there somewhere in my history, but they weren't living at the time of my birth or my growing up. And yet I can still relate to that because in my mind's eye, you take me on that journey. And I think that's what, again, makes it different. You have made it relationship or relational in its style and conversational as well. Where does the story take place? I mean, have you always lived in Colorado?
No. And it's a little bit unique to the book because I'm writing under a pen name, and the publisher felt that it would be best to, you know, fictionalize it to protect me and my family and others, because one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to defame anyone or embarrass anyone, including myself and my children. And so it's interesting because I've been praying every day, okay, Lord, how do I market this book, you know? anyway, what was your question?
You sort of did. It does take place in more states and more environments than just Colorado, where you currently reside.
Yes. Well, I've resided in Midwest and also the West Coast.
Well, we'll forgive you for the West Coast, just personally speaking. I mean,
okay, yeah, that's not the first time I've heard that.
I am so sorry. I can edit that out if you wish. I'll leave it there for now, though.
Well, the West Coast is where I was born and raised, so I'll always call it home. So.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful state to be from. For absolutely. Now, are there any words that describe this book, maybe in capsule form? Is there a way that when you have finished this project, which you have, and have over 418 pages or so in it, when you look back, are there three or four different words or ideas or inspirational thoughts that pop out?
I would say trust God always.
Good thought. And it's diverse as well, I think, in the way that you've approached this, correct?
It is. It is diverse, yes.
And the challenges in getting this to print, as I think we've discussed, this is your first book at this point, one that's been published, although you have maybe a desire to write in the future. Is anything underway? Are you writing a follow-up to this one, maybe a sequel?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that because I'm kind of right now in a holding pattern. I don't think there's going to be a sequel. the book that I first started to write way back, like years ago, that was a fiction book, that I think that might be my next one, but I want to make sure that I don't go out ahead of God. I want His anointing, and I've been in my prayer closet. I've just been like, okay, you know, should I continue marketing Sunrise? Because Sunrise is really on the launch pad right now, and I'm just praying to the Lord about it, like, daily. Okay, I want to be obedient. Lord, what, do you want me to market Sunrise? Do I start on my next book? Because my next book, I believe, is going to be turned into a movie. Mm. And so it has to glorify God or I don't want to do it, type of thing.
Sure. Well, considering the content of this, and my assumption would be you would release that fictional book under your nom de plume, Autumn Florence, it will not have Naughty Bits in it, I'm guessing.
Say that again. I couldn't understand what you asked.
Well, a lot of people don't understand what I'm talking about. I was just saying that considering the content of this book, your fictional work, if it ever is released, it will be released under your pseudonym or under your nom de plume, Autumn Florence, and we can expect that it will not have any Naughty Bits in it.
Any Naughty Bits? What's that?
That's a British term saying stuff for adults, so I'm just teasing.
Okay. All right, I'm like, it's over my head.
That's okay.
Yes, I actually really like my pen name. I really do. I've embraced it.
Beautiful. Now, have you had an opportunity, besides family members who may be looking for the skeletons in the closet, address the contents of your book and give any feedback at this point?
I haven't given the book to my family. My mom and dad were so excited, and they were, you know, I was going to, of course, send them a copy, and they were going to read it, but they died, and so they didn't get to read the book. So I'm really sad about that, but my siblings, I'm going to send them autographed copies
and an invoice, of course. Yes. Well, Autumn, thank you for joining me today and sharing the background story of Sunrise, Sonrise, which is a devotional guide and a devotional content book of over 400 pages, something for every single day of the year. And because it's dated, it can be used any year and can be referenced at any point. I think this is a great idea, and congratulations on completing this. And again, we look forward to the future, because you may release that fictional book without naughty bits for our listeners as well. And it will be under the pen name Autumn Florence. Autumn, where do we get copies of your book?
West Bow Press.
Yes, and I think also Amazon, correct?
Yes, for the ebook.
Very good. Now, they can do a search under your name, Autumn, just like it's spelled, A-U-T-U-M-N, and last name, Florence, F-L-O-R-E-N-C-E, not only to get a copy of this book, but also to keep in touch for the future, because I'm sure as time progresses, you'll want to have a web page and some social media events happening and taking place where people can connect with you and hopefully respond not only to the contents of this book, but anything you write in the future. Best of luck. We hope to hear from you again.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the interview.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, West Bow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Girlfriend It is on DougieNet. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, with your hosts Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. This show is your chance to share, learn, laugh, and connect with other women. The Girlfriend It principle was born out of loss.
Lisa had recently had her mother pass away from cancer, and my mom was murdered. A man just walking into a room and started a 23-second shooting spree.
I think one of the things we both realized going through those tragedies that you can be extremely okay and be extremely sad.
Check out GirlfriendIt.com. And then be a part of Girlfriend It, the radio show. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You know, your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, they don't totally understand that emotional side to a woman like another woman does. And I think that's so important, just to have somebody that you go, she gets me.
Check out the website, girlfriendit.com. Don't miss Girlfriend It with Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Howdy, this is Lisa Horlander, and welcome to Indie Book Publishing with West Bow Press. I have Deborah Nicewander with me today, author of A Glimpse of God, a book dedicated to helping you find a personal glimpse of who God is. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Hi, it's nice to meet you. Nice. I'm a little nervous here, but it's great to be here.
Well, you know, it's really nice to be able to talk with you and find out about what your passion is. Your book is really exciting. I love how much you put of yourself in the book. Can you describe to the listeners how you would you introduce to a friend what you're trying to talk about?
Well, thank you very much for that compliment. And usually when someone asks me about, when they find out I've written a book and they go, what's it about? And I say the title is A Glimpse of God. And I say, you know, I try to ask someone how they describe God. And I think that God can be more than one thing at any time in our life. And so I say, you know, how close are you to him? Do you feel he's involved in everything that you do? What do you call him? You know, do you call him your father? Do you call him friend? Do you call him savior? He is so many different facets in our life, and we see so many different glimpses of God when in our life that sometimes we don't even realize it until later that was really God speaking to us and trying to really get to know us through those glimpses.
Well, what was your motivation? What made you want to capture those glimpses?
Well, it really started when my kids were very young, and I was trying to look for Christian books for them and doing different avenues to try to, you know, teach them about God. And I don't really know what triggered it, but I started thinking about, well, how do I describe God and how am I going to describe that to him, which really made me step back and go, how do I describe God and what do I think of him and how close am I with him? And so I started writing these to try to help them learn who God was, hoping that they would see in me, in my life and things that I've gone through, how real Jesus is and how close he can be in our lives and how he wants to be in every part of our life. That he shows up in everything, and sometimes we don't even realize it, that he cares about the littlest things, you know, when we have a bad day, and that he loves us no matter what we're going through, the good, the bad, the ugly, and he's just there. He just wants, he's so, so passionate about wanting us to know him that he would do anything, he would care about anything to be with us.
That's really exciting. I love that you really wanted to share that with your kids first, and that it was an eye-opener for yourself. That's pretty exciting. I think a lot of people don't realize that your own experiences can fuel somebody else's. So what do you want if the readers could get one thing from your book? What is that one thing you want them to be able to take away?
I think I want it truly to be hope that God is there for us, and he desires to know us intimately, and he is always seeking us. He's always trying to grow us. He's trying to help us, and that if we just step back and look at our lives, we would see that, and that how much he loves us and wants to know us, and he wants us to know him in the most intimate way.
A lot of books out there that have similar topics. What sets your book apart?
I think it's probably the way I approached it. We tend to not talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and how unique each part of God is, and that he does so much for us in so many different ways. You know, I was reading in the scriptures the other day in Psalms, and it talked about he was my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my redeemer, all of those all at once. And how that it just when we let him just go through us and develop us and just be absorbed with him, that all the fruits of the Spirit come out, and it's from him, it's not from us. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I broke it up in those topics of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then the fruits of the Spirit, and how each of those fruits come out in us, and it's like a seed being planted inside of us, and the more we learn of him, the more we grow, and the more he comes out, because that's really what we want to shine, is God, not us. Mm-hmm. Because when we let him shine is when other people see how much they are really truly loved by him.
Now, have you written other books on this topic, or is this your first one?
This is my first. I actually had planned on writing it as a full year devotional.
Oh, wow.
I set myself up really high. But it's hard to write when you're living it, you know, at the same time you're writing it. So I was talking to some friends of mine, and one of my friends one time said, well, why don't you just write it in volumes? And so that's what I started doing. And so this became my first volume. Hopefully I'll have enough volume to make a year. But it really started as, again, devotionals for my kids. And then I started letting some friends read them. And one of my friends would call me and say, fax me another one. Do you have another one? And I go, yeah, why? And she goes, well, we've been using them in my Bible study. Oh. And so they actually started using them as for their Bible study.
That's amazing.
So just, she goes, write more. And I go, okay, I'm trying.
That's great. Nothing like a little motivation is that people actually using it before it's even finished. That's great. Well, so
expect more
books.
I hope so. I am working on another one. I kind of got interrupted with the second volume when after the book came out, I was diagnosed with cancer. And so kind of everything got put on hold trying to do treatment and stuff. But, yeah, I'm working on it.
I have to say, that's a lot.
Like I said, when you're writing and you're living it while you're writing it, you know, sometimes it just takes a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you'll have quite a bit more to put into it, what you've experienced. Wow. Where can our listeners buy your book? And do you have social media that they can follow you along and find out when your next books come out?
They can buy it at Westbow Press and Barnes & Noble, all the online stores. I have a Facebook page, and they certainly can like my Facebook page and PM me. I used to have a web page, but when I was going through treatment, I couldn't keep that up, so I decided not. If I couldn't put the time into it, I decided I wanted to, you know, not use that right now. But
Then maybe they can find you on Facebook pretty well.
Yes, and it is called A Glimpse of God page on Facebook. So,
well, thank you so much, Deborah, and best of luck with those next books. I'm so glad I got to hear about them.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you giving me the time.
Definitely, and good luck on your cancer treatment.
Oh, I'm actually done. The Lord definitely did some miracles and during that treatment.
Wow.
And that's probably going to be, that could take a whole book.
I'm excited to find out about that. Well,
yep.
God bless, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. You take care, and God bless you too.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing. Join us again next week at noon Eastern.